GM, good morning, people. Good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for tuning in to Yield Must Chat. This is our second episode of the season, and we're super excited to have all of you here with us. We have amazing guests lined up today, and there's so much to get into. But before we get into all of that, hey, Gio.
Hey, how's it going?
Amazing. I'm glad to have you here today. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. Thank you. It's been, weather's getting nicer. Things are moving and grooving. Things are going well.
Awesome. That all sounds pretty exciting. We don't have Kaku up here with us today.
No, it's a sad day. I know.
Kaku, we miss you. But give us a thumbs up if you're good and if everything's going good. Awesome. There's so much to get into today. But I guess it would be great to start with a couple of updates, Yield Must related updates. I know that in the last month, we've discussed turning on revenue for Yield Must for our DCA and no DCA strategies. And we've gotten past the first step, which is getting governance to say, hey guys, okay, yes, you can go ahead and introduce some sort of fee. But we're currently in the discussion stage of figuring out what these fees would look like. And we've gotten suggestions from the community for everything from 1% to 10% on these strategies. So conversations and discussions are still open and still ongoing on Commonwealth and on Discord. And it's never too late to get your opinion in and help us shape the future of Yield Must. Do you have anything to add to that, Gio?
No, I think you did a good job. Encourage everybody to come by, take a look, and participate.
So awesome. We're doing so much exciting stuff today. Today's topic is one of the things that I've looked forward to for so long, and not just because we're yield farmers and we care about getting the most yield that we can, but also because we have some amazing people from amazing projects here to give us the inside alpha on the best way to find yield in Cosmos. So we have the team from Levana, we have the White Whale team here, and we have the Quicksilver team with us here. We're going to get into those introductions in a second. I just need to make sure everyone's up here.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey JB, thank you for joining us. So this is JB from Levana, correct?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. So we have the White Whale team up here. We have the Levana team up here. And I guess the Quicksilver team is on their way. So we can get into the space right now, guys. I would love if both of you could give us a quick introduction. So tell us your name, what you do at your respective teams, and then what your project does. So we can do JB first and then Sebastian.
So I suppose we already went through. My name's JB, and recently joined the Levana team. Been working in Web3 maybe for like 3 years about, started getting involved maybe more so in the Multiverse X injective ecosystems, and working with a staking provider called Helios Staking, and building out content, helping build out the community, all those sorts of things. On that end, and recently got involved with Lavana to help aid the marketing efforts, the social efforts, to help amplify, create awareness about around the brand, help make people aware of like the great product that we're offering to DeFi on Cosmos, specifically Injective, Osmosis, and Say. And yeah, excited to be here. We're continually growing. We recently hit a milestone of 2 billion total trading volume on the platform, continuously growing. And yeah, just excited for the future and excited for like bringing forward new opportunities for everyone in DeFi, trading opportunities for everyone in DeFi on Cosmos.
Awesome. That was such an amazing introduction. And just before we go to White Whale, I would love it if you could give like a brief intro of what Lavana does for anyone that's not familiar.
Yeah, no, for sure. So Lavana stands for Leverage Any Asset. And essentially, we allow users to pop on the platform and they can either provide liquidity against the trades on any asset, or more importantly, they can trade collateralized in any native token on Injective, Osmosis, or Say. So what that means in simple terms is, let's say, and you don't want to sell it to like USDC or USDT to open a leverage trade, you can just go on with that Injective or with that Say or with that Osmosis in your wallet. You can choose the amount of collateral you want to deposit into the trade. You can choose the amount of leverage. You can choose your take profit, your stop loss. And the protocol is well-funded, which essentially means all positions on the platform are completely secure at all moments. Your profit and loss is guaranteed. And then you can open your trade and your profit is realized in the native token.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I'm not going to get into my Lavana stories on this space. Yeah, but it was a great experience trying it out. Hey, Sebastian. Hi, thank you for joining us today. We would love a quick intro about yourself and White Whale.
Yes, hello, hello. Thank you guys for having me. I'm very happy to be here. I am the I'm the founder of White Whale and Migaloo Blockchain. We are a Cosmos L1. We like to say we're pushing DeFi boundaries. That's kind of our motto. It's kind of our vibe. We've been doing a lot with restaking lately. So about a year ago, actually, when we went live with our chain, we went live with the Alliance module implemented by TFL, which basically enables restaking on your chain. And we've kind of been experimenting ever since. So basically, whitelisting other tokens that can be staked on our chain to earn some of the chain yield, some of the inflation yield of our chain. So we've whitelisted assets like BTC. We've also whitelisted LP tokens, right? So our Whale USDC LP token, our Whale BTC LP token. We've whitelisted community tokens, right? Ecosystem tokens. And actually this week we are launching something called Restake DAO. And basically what that's going to do is it's going to enable any holders of Restake token will be able to dictate and direct chain yield, Whale inflation chain yield, to whatever asset they choose, right? So what this does is it kind of introduces a liquidity war, VE tokenomics, if you will, like a curve war style dynamic to restaking. So you can buy restake token, you can accumulate restake tokens, and then you can stake them and you can direct yield of Whale of Migaloo to whatever asset that you wish, right? So it's a very interesting thing. We're quite excited about it. And, you know, we'll get into some of the specific opportunities here, I'm assuming. But, you know, right now we have, we have these assets, but you know, that have been enabled by restaking, right? And if you don't know what restaking is, it's basically you're able to stake the same asset on multiple chains or in multiple places and kind of double dip on yield. So earn yield from two different places at once, right? So we have actually engineered these assets. They're called Amp Whale T and B Whale T. And basically what it is it's Whale that is staked on both Migaloo and Terra, simultaneously, and this is a liquid staked version, right? So it's an LST of Whale that's staked on both of those chains, so it aggregates both of those yields and then auto compounds it back into Whale, right? So this LST is currently yielding about 100%. Okay, so, and that is single asset, right? It's Whale, it's not an LP, there's no impermanent loss, it's single asset. And it's sustainable, right? It's from the chain. It's not like it's incentives and it requires to be reloaded or anything. It's for as long as these chains operate, that prints that way. So you're talking about 100% yield on your Whale tokens by leveraging these LSTs, these tokens. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea of the power of restaking that we're kind of dabbling with over at Migaloo and Whale.
That sounds so exciting, and I would love to get deep into that. And just by the way, you can actually, on our Juno Outpost, set aside some funds to periodically purchase Amp Whale and B Whale for you, which is such an amazing thing. Now, hearing about all the amazing things that you can get from holding these tokens and so much, and all the amazing stuff that you can do with these tokens. So if you're looking to get into that and you have some Juno, head over to our Juno Outpost and you should be able to get sorted out pretty quickly. And that might actually be the easiest way to get into Amp Whale and B Whale, by the way, if you're not familiar with the Migaloo ecosystem. But this is great, guys. The conversation today is supposed to be a conversation that looks at the different ways that people can earn yield in Cosmos. So from things from stuff like staking or liquidity providing and everything in between that. And there are questions that I have for both Levana and White Whale, and I would love for us to get into that. And I think we can start with Levana, right? So could you walk us through how someone with a basic understanding of DeFi can get started with Levana? Like, what's the first step that anyone that wants to get into Levana should take?
Yeah, no, of course. So obviously, if Levana is maybe on injective, say Osmosis, the people who are most likely to explore Levana are going to be those who hold like injective, INJ, SEI, or Osmo, and simply, or some of the other tokens on Osmosis. And I'd say the simplest step to getting started earning yield, obviously this conversation is about earning yield on Cosmos. I'd say the simplest step someone could take on Levana to start earning yield is depositing in our LP pools. So the LP pools we have in Levana are single-sided, which basically means you deposit, let's say, Axelar, you deposit Osmo, you deposit Injective, you deposit Say into the LP, which gives the collateral for the platform or the liquidity for the platform to allow trades to be opened against. And then you will earn fees from the trades that are opened against the liquidity you provide to the platform. And given the fact that like most traders are unprofitable, this is a bet on the house, essentially, that when you provide the liquidity, you're going to take a portion, a relative proportion of your contribution to the liquidity pool of losing trades. If that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And that's a great way to start out. And for someone like me that recognizes that I'm a bad trader, I would 100% go for that. But what other opportunities are there in Levana for someone that might have maybe like a higher risk appetite or like just want something more exciting?
Yeah, no. Well, I suppose like Levana foundationally is a leveraged trading protocol. So essentially, if people have that little bit more confidence in their ability to predict the markets, they're going to be able to go on, they're going to be able to take their collateral, they're going to be able to take their INJ, take their Say, take their Osmo, they're going to be able to put that into the platform, and they're going to be able to trade with up to 30x leverage on some of those markets, which is pretty like high risk if you ask me, and it's going to give like the potential for significantly amplified returns if you're right. But obviously, there's a significant downside if you're wrong. So whenever you're engaging in any activities like that, it's probably wise to have done a little bit of background research into and have a little bit of understanding about what you're getting into. Not advising anyone to just jump in and start 30xing everything right away. Like, you know, Time and a place, but like not all the time and not in all places.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. So we have like a broad understanding or a simple understanding of what opportunities are there for beginners or even more experienced traders on Levana. And I'd love to go to White Whale and ask, right, in your experience, what's the biggest challenge that newcomers face when trying to earn yield in Cosmos? And how do you think they can overcome some of these challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. And it's a really good thing to highlight and talk about. You know, Cosmos in general, I think there's a high barrier to entry, right? For newcomers, for normies, onboarding in general is pretty difficult. It takes a while to kind of navigate IBC, the different chains, you know, all of the different gas, you know, tokens that you're using in gas. These things are, you know, they're not that intuitive. They are to us who have been doing it for, you know, for months and years, but coming in the first time, you're clueless. I don't know how many times I've had to walk, you know, my in real life friends or somebody that I'm introducing to crypto or to Whale or to whatever. And they have 1,000 questions, right? And they all seem very basic to me, but to a first time user, they're quite challenging, right? So, and I think this is where a lot of the monolithic chains, right? Like for example, Solana, you know, Solana is one chain, and they've actually made onboarding and new users, you know, quite easy, right? And quite intuitive. And they've really captured a lot of the market share from, you know, in this cycle, that's really been one of the big narratives that we're seeing is, you know, the ETH maxis and kind of the ETH, you know, DeFi shifting over to Solana from Ethereum, because nobody wants to pay $100 to do any transaction, right? Or $50, whatever it is. So that the easiest place to transition to is Solana. So I think it's, and you know, we're just as guilty as everybody else. You know, we're hard to use. If you don't know what you're doing, if you do know, you can print yield and you could do all kinds of the coolest, funnest DeFi stuff out there, right? Restaking and printing yield and all this double dipping and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff, right? Just like Levana with the leverage. But getting new users and getting new liquidity is the issue. It really is, right? But I think it's a Cosmos-wide issue that we all need to solve together.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. I saw one new development this week that it's now much easier to get USDC across from Solana to Cosmos and back. So I definitely see that helping with getting into the ecosystem. But I have a question. Do you think that, because with Solana, I think a lot of their dApps and even their wallets are a lot more mobile friendly. Do you think that has been like a hindrance for the Cosmos ecosystem? Because even with the existing wallets and some of the existing apps that we have, a lot of them are mobile friendly.
Yeah. Is this to me? Is this question
yeah.
to me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is that's a fair point. I think that's certainly one issue. I don't think it's the only issue, to be honest with you, but Solana is ahead of the Cosmos in mobile. That's I think that's a pretty fair statement, you know, but it's beyond that, right? It's beyond that. And you're right, like we are taking ground. So for example, the news just came out, I think it was this week, with Skip's integration, and they're bridging, you know, USDC from Solana to Cosmos. So I think that's huge, right? I think that's huge. I think what Noble has done, right? What Noble Chain has done with native USDC, that's huge. These are big steps, right? And we've seen we've seen a lot of progress, and we've seen a healthy appetite for native USDC. Right. So we're moving in the right direction here. But yes, there are other things that need to be tackled, and mobile is certainly one of them.
Definitely. I completely agree with that. I'd love to segue over to Levana. Right. So we got into some of the ways that people can earn yield on Levana. And one of the things that you mentioned was leverage trading. And I know that even with traditional finance and regular Forex traders, like, leverage trading is one thing that's almost like a taboo, where they tell you, like, don't ever use leverage when you trade. And I'd love to hear from you, like, what do you think are some of the common misconceptions about using leverage in yield farming that you'd like to clear up for everyone listening?
So I think, let's say, like, just in any moment, like, blanket generalizations of statements saying nobody should do this or everybody should do this or this is the right thing or this is the wrong thing are almost always like out of context and biased in nature. So at Levana, I'd say we're aware that people like to leverage trade, and we're building a protocol that is going to give the most robust, like, leverage trading experience to anyone who wishes to leverage trade. And that's not to say, like, leverage trading is for everybody, but we are building an ecosystem that can facilitate everybody, like, within it. So if leverage trading isn't your thing and you actually think that most traders inherently, as they statistically are, unprofitable, you can seek to profit off that, like, unprofitability of others by depositing in our LP. If, like we touched on earlier, like, you have that little bit of a more risk on appetite and you want to take on some of those higher leverage trades, you can do so, and you can, like, work with up to 30x leverage on collateralized in native tokens, and providing that kind of friction-free trading experience where you don't have to keep switching between your native tokens and stable token or stable coins to like open trades. But I think ultimately, if people are getting involved, there has to be a huge degree of personal responsibility involved in leverage trading and managing your capital, as there is with all investments, but especially with leverage trading, simply because of how fast the positions can move. If you position yourself in a poor way, or if you open a trade that conditionally is set up negatively for you, or that can run against you quickly. So I think, like, blanket statements like good, bad, nobody should, everybody should be avoided. But at Levana Protocol, we're just, like, aware that people like to leverage trade. We're aware if there's a demand for it, and we're trying to build the best and most robust, most secure, most accessible trading experience for anyone that wishes to participate in it.
That's an amazing reply. And also, like, I think that's one of the most important things for every trader. Know your strengths and your weaknesses. Always have fail safes. I don't want to call them a fail safes, but always move with intention, have goals, and make sure you stick closely to those goals as much as possible. And I guess give everything a try. You never know how good or bad you are until you give it a try.
No, for sure. And actually, I think touching on one of the topics that you guys were touching on just there a second ago in relation to, let's say, Cosmos versus Solana, I think it's a very similar discussion. And I think it's missing the bigger picture of where we're going in Web3, where we're going in DeFi, where we're going, like, as an ecosystem, as a space as a whole, where the decentralized financial movement and the decentralization movement as a whole is going, in terms of, let's say, we got Axelar integrated with Cosmos. I think it's going to be more about, like, what is being built, the value of what is being built, and there's going to be increasing amounts of, like, interoperability layers that are going to help connect fragmented liquidity across chains. And so I think actually it's going to give builders the opportunity to really focus less on having to, like, position themselves in the right place, but be aware that if they build the right things, you know, the way the old saying, like, if you build it, they will come. I think it's going to become more like that in the next few years with, like, the quality of the interoperability layers that are being built right now and the robustness of them. And you got Wormhole, you got Axelar, you got all these kind of bridges becoming easier and easier to use, and they're connecting those fragmented liquidities, making it easier to connect across chains. So I think it's going to be more about what is being built than where it's being built in as we go forward. That's not to say it's not important right now, but I just think it's going to become less important as we move forward in the space, you know?
100%. I completely agree with that sentiment. And everything a lot of the things that have been built this year are pretty much all working towards that goal, where it's less important, or what chain you're on is less important as the value that you're getting from whatever dApp or app that you're interacting with. And I would love to see that, honestly. definitely something that definitely something that has always been an issue is, I guess, just having gas on whatever chain you're trying to get to. Like, I don't have any of that, right? And having less of those issues would definitely be a great step forward for the entire ecosystem, every ecosystem.
Definitely. And I think, like, these interoperability protocols are becoming more sophisticated, more user-friendly. They have some of those issues at their, like, at the forefront of their consideration. They realize they're actually competing against other protocols that are trying to provide a similar experience. The thing that's going to drive the value to their protocol is going to be the user experience, going to be the adoption. And I think, like, the old, like, again, like an old adage, if you want to call it, but like it's competition breeds innovation, you know, like where people are competing for users. They realize they need to attract users to drive value to their protocol, to their token. It's going to, like, breed more innovation, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes so much sense. And yes, that's very correct. Competition does build, breed innovation. And at the end of the day, it's all a positive for users. So that's a great thing to see. I'd love to... Were you going to say
No, I was just saying, yeah, like 100%, a positive sum game. We're all working. We're all building. We're all collaborating. We're all working towards amplifying each other's, like, inputs and just creating, like, a space, like a positive sum space where everybody can win, you know?
Definitely, definitely. I'd love to jump back to White Whale. And I know that we spoke about restaking and some of the derivatives that you guys have right now with B-Whale and AmpWhale. And I'd love to know, I guess, the reasoning behind the introduction of these tokens, and specifically in the sense of restaking, right? In your view, how does restaking help in terms of liquidity across the ecosystem?
Yeah, so, you know, we at Migaloo and with White Whale, we have prioritized liquid staking tokens, LSTs. They're an essential part of our ecosystem. They're at our core. And I think one thing that we've done well, if I can say so, is we've gone out of our way to actually provide utility and things you could do with these LSTs. A lot of times you get LSTs and there's really nothing you could do with them, right? You hold them and it's a liquid token, but there's not much you could do from there. So one thing that restaking does is it allows you to basically take that LST, that token that's already generating yield from your mother chain, and then stake it to another chain, right? That's a basic utility of an LST, right? Another thing, but it's kind of like building blocks, right? So you could take that from there. So let's say you have an LST, you have AmpWhale, right? And by the way, just to give a little context, we have two LST partners on Migaloo. We have AmpWhale and we have B-Whale, right? So AMP is Aris Protocol, B-Whale is Backbone Labs. Backbone Labs, they do kind of a cool, and they're totally different models, right? They do like an NFT-fi where they have NFT collections that are tied to their LSTs. So the NFT collections actually earn a portion of the yield. It's very community-based project. And then Aris, you know, because of their specific mechanisms and minimal fees, they just have very high yielding LSTs, right? So, And we think it's important, just on another note, we think it's important to diversify and have more than one LST on your chain, right? Because they are, in a sense, they can be points of failure, right? If something, you know, they can take over validator sets, right? We've seen that. You know, they can basically grow and have too much power in a chain or ecosystem, and they can get exploited, right? So that's why we have two partners, and they're different. Okay. But again, going back to the utility, right? So you have an LST that it's a liquid token. It gets yield from the mother chain. Then you can restake it. So let's take AmpWhale, for example. You can take your AmpWhale, which is yielding you 6%, and you can stake that on Terra right now, right? And you can earn another 70% yield with your AMP whale on top of the 6% yield that it's already compounding. And you get that in Luna, right? You get 70% in Luna. So our community loves this. They love this. We have over 100 million whales staked on Terra. It's like almost 20% of our supply. And it's literally just printing. It is just printing. Like, it's like the best kept secret in DeFi. You know, it's just our community goes nuts over it. And you can take that Luna, right? You can stack your Luna if you want, or you can redirect it. You know, you can do so. You can accumulate other assets, basically free cash flow, you know, and honestly, Yieldmost and what you guys are building and what you bring to the table for Migaloo will come in great handy for a tool like that. Yeah, but then. You know, then so we have that where you can stake it to Terra. Then Aris built another derivative called AMP Whale T, which I mentioned earlier. And this is basically an LST that stacks both of those yields together and auto compounds them. So that's at 100. That's currently at 100% yield. Right. So then with the building blocks, if you're following me, and we're getting deep down the rabbit hole of DeFi right now. Right. This is down the rabbit hole, but that's all right. You know, that's OK. We got some crypto natives here. We can go there. So you got AMP Whale T yielding 100%, right? You're growing your whale, single asset, you're growing it by 100%. You could then use that as collateral, which you can do on Ginkgo, right? And you can borrow against that AMP Whale T. So now you have an asset yielding 100% that you can use for things like collateral to borrow against, right? And then you can even keep going, right? You could even keep going. I mean, the next step down the line, and we're not there yet, would be using this for like a self-repaying loan, right? So theoretically, if you have an asset yielding 100%, you can take out a loan and you can have it repay itself in a year. You know, you could take this so far, right? You could do a triple. You could not only aggregate yield from two chains, but you can aggregate yield from three chains, right? And put all that into one asset. You know, it's a blue ocean of things that you could do with restaking. So we're playing with it. We're just playing with it right now.
That's such an interesting breakdown, to be honest. And now I see why the whale community is so bullish. There's so much being kept a secret in that community that's so valuable to everyone. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm pretty sure that we have a couple of listeners that will go and check that out right away. Personally, I'll be checking some of that out right away. And you know, there's so much collaboration going on within the Migaloo community, and there's so much partnerships. And I'd love to know, JB, what do you think people that hold some of these LSTs can do with them on Levana?
Well, the simplest thing is we actually offer like liquid staking tokens or liquid staking derivatives, if you want to call them. We offer markets for them. So we have Milk Tia, we have Staked Osmo, and we have Staked Atom. We're in talks with trying to get like liquid stake derivatives of Injective, liquid stake derivatives of Say, and like any other asset on the platform, the market is collateralized in itself ultimately. So you can trade like the value of Milk Tia against the value of USD collateralized in Milk Tia. And if you wanted, you could provide liquidity to the Milk Tia market in Milk Tia and be earning earning yield like in Milk Tia, or leverage trading Milk Tia to earn more Milk Tia. So it's almost like a triple appreciating effect where, let's say, you're holding Milk Tia, which is going up in price. You're earning more Tia because the LSD of Milk Tia itself is earning you more Tia. And then also you're using either providing liquidity on Levana or leverage trading Milk Tia to earn more of the token itself, if that makes sense. So yes. It creates a nice flywheel for anyone who wishes to participate or use like LSDs on Levana. And I think like the liquid staking development, the way kind of this space and that like aspect of DeFi has progressed over the last year or two, has really unlocked a lot of opportunities. It's really kind of harmoniously aligned the incentives between securing proof of stake blockchains and unlocking the liquidity of proof of stake blockchains. And I think it really has been, was a really great innovation in moving DeFi forward.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. I just like to break here and say that we are taking questions. So you're free to come up and ask any one of us a question or leave it in the chat box on the bottom right, and we can get our guests to answer some of these questions. So I want to go deeper into Levana, right? And I love like a simple breakdown. If you could give us like a tip or a trick for getting the max amount of returns with Levana, that might not be obvious to new users. So we're basically asking for some alpha here.
Sorry, my thing was off. But in terms of alpha, I don't know if I have any specific alpha, because the platform is as simple as that. A few little things, maybe. Our LVN token, we have, we airdropped it to our earliest community members back in late 2023, and we've upcoming airdrop phases planned. We have a staking and governance portal launching in the next couple of weeks. It's going to allow users to capture yield from the platform, and it's going to allow stakers to have a direct influence on maybe some of the directions of the platform, like a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization. And I suppose in relation to that, like, or tying the LVN token and the utility it's going to have in the platform into current opportunities. On Injective right now, we launched a vault on Mito Finance, which are like an automated trading yield platform built by, I believe, the core Injective team. And we launched an LVN INJ pair, with, I think it's paying something like over 300% APR at the moment in LVN, if that makes sense. And then on Dojo Swap, which is one of the leading AMMs in terms of volume on Injective, we also launched they actually airdropped LVN tokens to their community. And we entered a little bit of a partnership with them, and they decided to airdrop LVN tokens to their community. And they also opened a farm, LVN Dojo Farm, which is paying, I think it's over 300% APR. It may be lower right now, but it was over 300 the last time I checked in the last couple of days, and paid in Dojo tokens on their platform. So I suppose in anticipation of the staking governance portal launching on Levana, where there's going to be opportunities to influence the platform and collect yield from the platform, there's farming opportunities for the LVN token. If you wished to accumulate it, hold it, and collect yield from it while you're awaiting the launch of the staking governance portal. In terms of on the platform itself, you're probably looking at each week popping on, or each day popping on. I say, like, on, you want to be depositing liquidity over a longer term time frame, especially on Levana. You get the most returns from locking liquidity in the market. So we've got LP and we've got XLP. XLP pays higher returns but locks your tokens as liquidity in the market for a longer period of time. But you could check on there every few days and see what markets are paying high APRs. We've had consistently high APRs in DYM over the last month. Like, every time I've checked, it's been triple digit APRs on DYM over the last month. Now, obviously, that's variable. That changes based on the dynamics of the trading environment, depending on how many traders are winning, how many traders are losing. But like, there's great opportunities on Levana in that sense as well, you know.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know that our audience has learned so much amazing stuff from this conversation so far. And we're getting to the end of the space, and I just have a couple more things to ask. I think that one thing I'd really love to know, seeing as both teams that are speaking right now are one of the most innovative, or both of the most innovative teams in the entire ecosystem. You guys have pioneered so many amazing things that so many cosmonauts use every day. And I'd love to know, what's one innovation or trend in the Cosmos ecosystem that excites you the most? And how do you see, whatever trend this might be to you, how do you see it impacting yield generation in Cosmos? Anyone can go first. Yeah.
I actually don't really Let's say I don't think I'm the best position to answer that, like in terms of I just see the opportunities as they are right now. And in terms of where things might go in the future, I think things like actually I do have an answer. The things like you're building here with like I just had a quick look at Yieldmoth automated yield generators where let's say people can deposit their liquidity or their funds into smart contracts and it's going to be able to go and seek out securely, obviously, hopefully the underpinning infrastructure is fundamentally sound and audited and secure, and that people's funds are not unnecessarily vulnerable with these platforms. But if you look at like the likes of Mito Finance on Injective, and you look at what you guys are doing here, yeah, I'd say a trend towards automation to increase the efficiency, the capital efficiency of users' funds as they seek yield, if that makes sense. Maybe more like if we're to go with the wider worldwide trend of AI and how AI is being incorporated in every like sector, I'd say the concept of automation and artificial intelligence of capital seeking yield and the deployment of capital to seek yield is probably going to infiltrate DeFi as well, if that makes sense.
Definitely. Yes, it does. I have a question for you. If you could incorporate AI or use some sort of AI tool to improve your trading experience or your yield farming experience, what would you love that tool to do?
I think it is. Okay, so there's probably three things as I think about them here. I'd say, first of all, like able to translate a natural language into like information. So me being able, and that the thing I'm talking to or the system I'm talking to being able to capture data from a variety of real-time sources. So being able to go, hey, what are the best APRs on DYM available like right now? Like, or APRs on LVN available right now, or APRs on INJ available right now. And then you can kind of go and then talk to it. What is the TVL of that pool? What's the volume of that pool? Second thing is probably being able to talk and like a partner to review your trading history or review your history, if that makes sense. Yeah. Can you tell me the most profitable pools I've been in? Like almost like your personal trading advisor or your personal investing advisor. Can you tell me what kind of pools I've been in? Can you tell me what they're earning? Can you tell me what they've earned? Can you tell me my most profitable ones? Can you tell me my less profitable ones? Especially when it comes to like leverage trading as well, that'd be a pretty cool tool to have.
Yeah.
And we're tentatively thinking about integrating AI into Lavana. It's very early stage discussions within the team. And then the third thing I would say is the thing like you guys on first glance seem to be building, which is that sort of like automated yield seeker where you're giving the capital to a like smart contract that is powered by like AI, if you want to call it, or powered by advanced automated algorithms that are going to like probably bring better results than a human is capable of making, either through the volume of transactions it's capable of making and that it's able to run 24 hours a day when a human is not able to make decisions or put the inputs in 24 hours a day, or by the fact that it just makes better decisions because it has access to like data, if that makes sense, that a human cannot comprehend. It's able to take in, make sense of and execute on a larger number of data points than a human could consistently do so.
Yeah, those are all amazing things. And I sort of feel like someone is currently working on some of that right now. And we might see live versions of some of these things by the end of the year. And that would just be great. I know that from what you have said, one of the most important things to us has always been to help people manage their assets across the entire interchain better, faster, and more reliably. And that's why like automation is one of the most important things for every feature that we build out. And even going deeper than automation is the fact that we try to remain non-custodial and we don't use any smart contracts. So all of that smart contract risk is pretty much gone with Yieldmoth. Also, the fact that there's no locking involved. There's never any locking involved. So we're really trying to build out a very safe future for all DeFi users where you can automate anything. You can always make sure that you're getting the highest yield possible, but your assets are always in your custody. You never, ever have to give up custody. And we're working on so many amazing things in the next couple of weeks that we can't wait to share. We do use smart contracts on our outposts, but we still don't take any custody. And all of those contracts are obviously audited. But yeah,
I know. I think what you guys are saying, like in terms of like what you're trying to build is going, there's going to be huge demand for it. I see a huge place for it going forward. And like, I think optimizing for robustness and security and survival is always the way forward, as in always seek to mitigate downside before shooting for upside, you know, especially in a market as sensitive as like DeFi, where you're managing ultimately, you're like managing indirectly people's funds, like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Just you know, trying to enable automation without having to take custody of it. And we do utilize smart contracts to help with like the business logic and the decision making of it, but those smart contracts aren't requiring users to hand over ownership of their asset,
which is pretty important. Very, very important for every user. We've always championed the idea that dApps, DeFi dApps, can be non-custodial, and that's the future that we're trying to build at Yieldmos.
No, it sounds exciting. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys bring forward, you know, and the value you guys are adding to the ecosystem, both within Cosmos, but then as we discussed earlier, you know, as interoperability becomes more friction free and seamless, obviously like protocols will be more easily able to connect with larger pools of liquidity, and if you build the right things, I'm sure the right people will find it, you know.
Definitely we agree with that. So we're nearing the end of this space, and we don't have any questions, but we will be ending soon. And we have Lavana here, we have White Whale here, and even at Yieldmos, we have a couple of things in the works with these projects. But I'd love to know, do you guys have anything that you're working on together, or is there hope for a future collaboration between your projects?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak to that. So, you know, I know Jonathan fairly well, founder of Lavana. We kind of go way back. We go back to the old Terra Glory days, you know, and we have some some partnerships and business dealings together, you know, and we've talked about it. We've talked about how we can collab and what that looks like. You know, I think Whale, we would love, right? We would love to be, you know, to have levered options, right? To be leverage traded, to be kind of integrated into Lavana. We're not quite there yet as far as liquidity requirements go. You know, but I think we will get there, right? It's just a matter of time. So I think that's probably one of the most obvious things there, right? So then who knows, right? Who knows what doors will open and opportunities come. But we do have a good relationship with Lavana, like I said. You know Jonathan well, and certainly open to it in the future.
Yeah, that would be great to see. JB, do you have anything to add to that?
No, listen, like always, like we've discussed through the whole space, you know, always excited to see collaboration. I was excited to participate in collaboration, and I think it's a key component of like why the space exists, why it's growing like it is, is that like concept of not only decentralization and permissionless infrastructure, but also like trying to bring out that spirit of collaboration and uplifting others, like rising tide lifts all boats sort of vibe, you know. And would love to see and collaborate with like as many people as possible to bring as much value to as wide an audience as possible. 100%.
Definitely. This has been such a great conversation, guys. I've learned so much, and I'm sure that our listeners have learned so much as well. Thank you so much for sharing all the alpha and all the knowledge that you have. We are pretty much at the end of this space, but I'd love it if both of you could leave a message for every Yield farmer that's listening that's listening to the space right now?
Yeah, sure. I'll go and I'll drop some alpha here now. You know, I've mentioned restaking, which has kind of been our thing in our niche that we've really been pressing into. I've also mentioned AMP and BWLT, which are single-sided, sustainable, you know, triple-digit yield, 100% yield on your whale, right? So currently we are in the middle of an airdrop campaign. The snapshots have not been taken yet. They will probably be at the end of this week or early next week for Restake Token and Restake DAO, which this is the first ever in the Cosmos. But this token basically will allow you to direct liquidity through gauges to tokens of your choice on Migaloo chain, right? So it'll allow you to direct yield, right? To direct restaking yield. So if you want yield to go to BTC, or you want yield to go to your favorite little DAO that you're in, or whatever it is, you know, the restake token controls a percentage of the Migaloo yield. So that airdrop, the snapshot will be taken in the coming days. And AMP and BWLT holders will qualify for that airdrop. So we're trying to showcase these assets because they're so powerful. Frankly, I don't know anything else like them. I don't know anything else like them. They're so powerful, and really nobody knows about them, to be fair. Nobody really knows about it except the people that do and are just printing with them, right? So if you hold those, and I'll say this, and we have Backbone just jumped in here, one of our LST providers. You're also qualifying by holding BWLT, for example. You're also qualifying for the Sol airdrop, which is Backbone Labs' upcoming token, and the Eris airdrop, which is Eris Protocol's upcoming token. So really, you're hitting a three. You're getting 100% yield and a three banger airdrop just by holding BWLT, right? So I would, that's the alpha, right? That's the alpha. If I were you, I would get yourself a bag. We put out, it's a little bit tricky, you know, it's a little bit, especially first time, we put out a tutorial video. It's on our Twitter and it's on our YouTube page that shows you how to obtain these assets. But that's what I'll leave you with.
That's such amazing alpha. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I was just going to add, one of the easiest ways to get BWHALE or AMPWHALE is through our Juno Outpost. Literally takes 5 clicks and has been the easiest way for me to get those assets as well. So you definitely want to check that out if you're looking to get some BWHALE or some AMPWHALE. So JB, we would love a message from you as well.
Yeah, I think I covered most of the things. I'd just like to thank Sebastian and thank you guys for hosting a great space. Sebastian, thanks for having a great chat. Like, really enjoy listening to you, and really excited to see what you guys are building over at White Whale, and also wish you all the best of luck with the upcoming airdrop and everything you have planned. And thanks for dropping that alpha. I'll be sure to check it out. And I suppose probably like I touched on earlier. If you're into LVN, if you like what I was talking about, if you see the value in the LVN token, how it's going to be in the platform, how it's going to maybe allow stakers to have an influence on the direction of the platform, allow stakers to collect yield, you can pick it up and you can access some pretty great opportunities with the triple digit APRs on Injective. Have a couple of really good ones at the moment, but we're exploring opportunities all the time. Across all the chains we're on, on Osmosis, even if you're slightly less degen, I think the Atom, the last time I checked, the Atom LVM pool was paying 50%. I think LVN and stablecoin might have been paying 40% or something like that. And I think on Injective, I was talking about, Mito Finance LVN Injective pair paying over 300% APR. Dojo LVN on Dojo Swap paying over 300% APR. Obviously this is yield farming. You've got to have a look into it, understand the risks, understand the assets you're holding, understand the farms you're depositing your liquidity into, understand what can happen, both positive and negative, before deciding to take on any of these opportunities. But it's just, yeah, there's exciting opportunities there to yield farm LVN. And obviously then if you're single-sided looking for some of the highest yield available on some of the assets you're probably holding, you can check out Levana. And if playing the house interests you, you can deposit liquidity into our single-sided liquidity pools for traders to trade against.
And if the traders lose, which most of the time traders do, you're going to pick up the fees. So I probably went on longer than I wanted there at the end. But the most important thing is thanks, guys, for a great chat. Really appreciate it. And best of luck, you guys, with everything you're building. And really looking forward to seeing how it all comes together, you know.
Thank you so much for that, JB. I would love to say big thank you to both of our guests from Levana and White Whale, JB and Sebastian. Thank you so much for joining our conversation. Thank you for being a part of this space. We've gotten to the end of the space and we're going to sign off in a second. Thank you to everyone that listened. I hope that everyone got to learn something new today. I definitely got to learn something new today. As always, please stay cautious, stay safe with your assets, always do your own research, and always be curious. There's so much amazing stuff in Cosmos to learn and discover, and the builders just keep building. Thank you again to all of our listeners. Shout out to Kaku, Gigi, and everyone on the Yieldmus team. Thank you to Gio for being here with us today. And thank you again to all of our amazing listeners and to everyone that are listening to the recording later on. Thank you for being a part of the space. We'll be here next month with a really special guest, guys. So you don't want to miss episode 3 of Yieldmus Chat. We have an amazing event on our Discord this Friday. That's our weekly trivia night. You definitely don't want to miss that as well. And so much more amazing stuff coming from Yieldmus. As always, you guys were amazing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining our chat. And until next month, stay curious.
Thanks for thanks for everybody for coming. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Great talk.
Bye, guys.
We'll see you.
You're now listening to Yieldmus Chat.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of DNA stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Deets tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10 stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.